Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Think of a time when a friend has told you that they are going through something difficult, perhaps sharing devastating news or a diagnosis, perhaps sharing from the heart about personal struggle with depression, abuse, or addiction. You want to help, to show your friend that you care, but it's hard to know what to say. It's hard to be a friend to someone who is suffering. Today, our reading from Job shows various ways that Job's friends respond to his suffering. And by exploring Job's story, we can look more closely at how we can tend our relationships with other people, and ultimately, our relationship with God as well. When Job's friends first appear in the story, they model caring friendship. It is the very end of the introduction in the story portion of the book, the end of chapter 2, when Job has lost everything, and he is sitting in grief on the trash heap, and his friends come to comfort him. The message tells it this way. When his friends first caught sight of him, they couldn't believe what they saw. They hardly recognized him. They cried out in lament, ripped their robes, and dumped dirt on their heads as a sign of their grief. Then they sat with him on the ground. 7 days and seven nights, they sat there without saying a word. They could see how rotten Job felt, how deeply he was suffering. The friends enter into Job's pain, simply sitting with him and sharing his grief. Have you heard of the Jewish practice of sitting Shiva? It means to come and sit with a friend who is in mourning for 7 days. Shiva means seven, and it imitates this action of Job's friends in the story. And Jewish people around the world still engage in this practice today. It is a practice of deep care and comfort for someone who is grieving. Then, after the 7 days of silence, Job opens his mouth and gives voice to his pain. Why did I not die in the womb, emerge from the belly, and expire? Why does God give light to the wretched and life to the bitter of soul? I have no rest, no quiet, no repose. Turmoil has come. As if they cannot handle Job's expression of pain, his friends change course as well. They begin to offer their ideas and opinions, and none of them are very helpful to Job. As I've been studying the book of Job this month, I've also been reading the work of social researcher and author Brené Brown in preparation for Excellence in Leadership in the fall. In her book, Dare to Lead, Brown writes about empathy as a way to connect with other people to offer help and healing. She defines empathy as connecting to another person's emotions, not just to what is happening with them, but to what they are feeling about what is happening. For 7 days, Job's friends show caring empathy and connection. But when they begin to speak, they move quickly into what Brown calls empathy misses. We miss at empathy when we feel pity or sympathy, feeling sorry for someone, but not with them. It's almost kind of looking down on someone in their pain. Oh, look how terrible that is for them. We miss at empathy when we are shocked or disappointed in someone and we let them know it. How could you let that happen? We miss at empathy when we rush to lay blame. Oh, how could he do that to you? What a jerk. Or when we rush in to solve the problem, here's what you need to do to fix it. All of these empathy misses give us a safe distance from the person who is suffering, allowing us to hold our feelings and those of our friend in a distance, at arm's length. They keep us from having to share and enter into someone's pain. Job's friends try all of these things with Job. Surely, Job, you know how this works. The righteous are rewarded and the wicked suffer. You wouldn't be suffering if you didn't deserve it. How far you have fallen from the man that we've known and admired. Job, if you just search your heart and figure out what you've done wrong, beg God to pardon your sin. Perhaps God will still have mercy on you. Perhaps they are overwhelmed by Job's suffering. Anyone might be. But in the end, Job's friends speak mostly to comfort themselves, to relieve their own dis-ease and anxiety about the situation. Old Testament professor Ellen Davis writes, "For anyone who hopes to bring comfort to a person in pain, the lesson to be derived from this long central section of Job is mostly negative. Our role as comforters is not to solve the problem of pain. Even less is it to stick up for God. Trying to vindicate God to a person in agonizing pain is like explaining to an infant that mommy is really a well-intentioned person." The friend's words do not help Job. In the face of Job's pain, his friends take refuge in their thoughts and their minds, not in their hearts. And in doing so, they make another, even more significant miss. The friends speak to Job about God, but they never speak to God. They think that they know all about God and they are going to tell Job everything they know without letting Job's experience affect their understanding. And God does not appreciate it. In chapter 42, we read again from the Message, "After God had finished addressing Job, he turned to Eliphaz and said, 'I've had it with you and your two friends. I'm fed up. You haven't been honest, either with me or about me, not the way my friend Job has.'" God tells the three friends to ask Job to pray for them, because God will listen to Job's prayers, not to treat them as they deserve for talking nonsense about God. Franciscan Father Richard Rohr wrote, "Job's religious friends and advisors have correct theory, but no experience. They have thoughts about God, but no love of God. They believe in their theology. Job believes in the God of their theology." It is a big difference. The first is just information. The second is wisdom. When we have the courage to stay fully in relationship with one another and with God, we can come through suffering to wisdom. Indeed, Father Rohr is known for saying that wisdom and mature faith can only come through great suffering or great love. It is in wrestling honestly with God that suffering can be transformed and faith can grow. We will see as we continue to read Job in the coming weeks how he engages fully with God in his suffering and his rage, refusing to give in to his friends' insistence on their two simple answers. We can learn from Job, and we as Christians have a gift that Job did not. The knowledge that God has become fully human in order to fully enter into our lives and our suffering. In this radical, fathomless love God has offered to us, it allows us to fully love and suffer along with one another. We can have courage in the face of our suffering, knowing that Christ has entered our pain and that we are always held in God's loving hands. Thanks be to God. Amen.